Would you join me opening your Bible to the book of Galatians this morning? Galatians, please. We'll continue our look at this tremendous letter, Galatians. These words are given to us by God. The Holy Spirit helps us to see the freedom in Christ that we can know when we stand on no other gospel but stand firm in the grace of Christ. We'll find ourselves in Galatians chapter 3, verses 6, 7, 8, and 9 this morning, verses 6 through 9. Title the message, Family by Faith. Family by Faith. Some time ago, my wife and I were invited to a dinner party. It was more of a gathering than probably a party, but there were 50, 60 people there. These were all people of some caliber of being known. It had a focus, the dinner did. It was about a joint focus and attention. An invitation had been sent to me, and I responded to that invitation with my plus one, my bride, and we both attended this dinner. We were among some of the last people to arrive, and as we came in, there was a podium there in the room, and there was a host and a hostess, and there were name tags, and of all the name tags that were laid out for everyone, there was like two left, mine and my wife's. So we were among the last there. And so we grabbed the name tags and began to walk in the room. And have you ever been here? You know that feeling you walk into a full room, everybody's mostly already seated and everybody looks at you and you're looking for a spot to seat. You just need two chairs and you're just trying to slide right in and sit down with everybody, but everybody's just staring at you. It wasn't long into that dinner where our observations of others' actions around us felt very strange. We knew that we were invited. We had received an invitation. We had responded to the invitation, so the host and the hostess knew that we were invited and were allowed to be there and were welcomed there. But it really felt like everyone else in the room did not expect us to be there, didn't know who we were, and that was fine, and rather preferred that we weren't there. It felt weird. We were present with a group of people by invitation, yet we still were left wondering whether we really belonged there or not. That's a very curious kind of uneasiness that perhaps you have felt. You can be present, even invited, and sometimes the human experience can lead to still feeling like whether or not you really belong with a group of people. No one has to necessarily say it out loud. And in that dinner gathering, no one voiced out loud how odd it was that we were there. But it was felt nevertheless. Sometimes you can feel it before anyone even explains it, and it goes something like this in our experience. You begin reading the room, you begin looking at faces and responses of people and the actions of that are warm or hospitality or inviting or the other, the lack thereof. And you notice who seems comfortable. You begin to pick out who seems known in the room. He seems to be leading or most comfortable. Who seems more confident than others. And then without meaning to, in all of that, just gauging of the room and people like we tend to do as human beings, another gauging goes on. We begin to look and think about ourselves and we begin measuring ourselves. Where do I fit in to this group of people? If they look like they really fit and they don't look like they fit, where do I fit in this group of people? You know, the heart has a way of turning belonging into something that we think we must prove. Would you think about that for a moment? The heart of the human being has a unique way of turning a sense of belonging into something that we have to somehow prove, identify, and validate ourselves. It's that very same kind of uncertainty that can settle into the Christian's life. I know this in part because Galatians shows us this, and the context of from Galatians 1 to our text today shows that this was going on amongst the Galatian believers. And it's when we notice who seems stronger, when we notice who seems steadier, who seems more useful or more mature or more liked or more settled, and then almost without realizing it, we begin to ask whether we really belong in the same family of people. And that question can then become very spiritually heavy within us. Am I fully received by God? Do I really belong amongst God's people? Or is there still something more that I need to do or to become or to prove that I'm enough? Is there something else I need to add before I can know what I have, know that I have a place? This was part of the pressure that the Galatian believers were feeling. This is part of the tension that Paul is speaking to when he argues the right answer for this experience. The false teachers of the day were treating the Galatian believers as though faith in Christ was not enough on its own. They were teaching the Galatian believers and seeding their thinking and treating them as though if they wanted to fully belong to God, they needed to do something more than faith in God. And so Paul takes them right back to one of their founding fathers. He takes them right back to Abraham, who they knew and esteemed and regarded highly. And Paul writes to the Galatians and says, remember Abraham, and by the way, folks, to remind you, everybody that reads this letter would go, oh, of course we remember Abraham. And then he shows us something that helps us today. He shows us that Abraham was counted righteous by faith. And those who believe share also in the blessing that followed Abraham. If I might summarize it this morning, we can see in verses 6 through 9 of Galatians 3 that God's people belong to him by faith. So Paul's writing to settle this. This cannot be debated. This cannot be argued. This could not be seen any other way than the way that God means it to be true. And so Paul writes clearly, expecting an arguing critic. That's how he writes. And it's incredibly instructive and helpful for us today. In Galatians 3, 6 through 9, Paul shows us that God's family has always been received by faith. From Abraham's day to today, repentant believers are declared righteous and justified by God on the basis of faith. Notice in verse 6 what he says here. Paul is turning now from the previous text in verses 1 through 5, where he was talking about the Galatians' own experience to prove this out. he then hearkens to a testimony of Scripture in verse 6, where he says this, just as Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Abraham was counted righteous by faith. And he wanted to remind the Galatians of this. He reaches back to Abraham. Why Abraham? Because Abraham was central to the question at hand. If the false teachers were suggesting that the Galatians needed circumcision, or law keeping in order to belong to the family of Abraham, as it were, Paul answers by pointing to Abraham himself, but with clarity. What does Scripture say about Abraham? You might notice that the editors of your English Bible have given some form of indication that there is an Old Testament scripture being quoted here. Verse 6 of Galatians 3 quotes Genesis 15 and verse 6. And there, way back at the beginning of your Bible, in Genesis 15, 6, the Bible says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Take note of that. Abraham believed God, and that belief was counted to him as righteousness. This was showing that Abraham did not stand before God as a man who had earned his acceptance. He stood before God as a man who believed God's promise. God had promised Abraham descendants. Do you remember this promise? He had promised Abraham descendants as numerous as the stars. That's unbelievable. But Abraham heard it from God and chose to believe God's word. And Abraham's belief in what God said was counted by God as righteousness to make a sinner like Abraham justified before God. Now, Paul is by no means saying in verse 6 or the verses that follow that Abraham had zero obedience to God in his life. Paul is not erasing obedience to God. Paul is pointing out the merit, if you will, that isn't there. What I mean to say is that Abraham did obey God, but Abraham's obedience was not the basis for his right standing before God. God does not say in Genesis 15 or in Galatians 6 or anywhere else in the Bible, Galatians 3, verse 6. God does not say anywhere else in the Bible that Abraham did a lot of good things for God, and so he was counted righteous. It didn't say that Abraham did not sin, so therefore he is counted righteous. And then we can come up with a whole other list of things he did not say, but we do see that God does say he believed God, and it was counted as righteousness. God had promised Abraham something, and Abraham believed what God had said. So Abraham's obedience was not the basis for his right standing to God. The decisive statement, again, is not Abraham worked for God and it was counted to him for righteousness. No, it is Abraham believed God. That is, God counted Abraham righteous by faith. That's the foundation that Paul wants the Galatians to see. So the point of what Paul is saying here is that God counts sinners righteous by faith. This was super key in his argument against the false teachers that were deceiving those who had received salvation by faith, by grace through faith. He's writing to the very ones who would appeal to Abraham and being part of Abraham's family. And you know there was a number of things that would be done by practicing Jews that would be rites and symbols and actions that would show that you're part of Abraham's family, of the Jewish family. So he hearkens to Abraham and he says, actually, Abraham believed God, and it was his belief, his faith in God, that God counted as righteousness. Not all of his obedience to the other laws, the other manners and rites and practices. Abraham believed God. And that speaks directly to the way that we today, as believers, sometimes find ourselves measuring whether we really belong to God or not. See, even as a born-again believer, it may be that you still sometimes find yourself looking inside yourself for something that will give you confidence before God. Why do we do that? I think we sometimes do that because we can only see inside ourselves better than we can see inside of others. Because we sometimes can do things and make things happen, and therefore there's something tangible or concrete, something that we can change and put before us, and we're prone to believe more readily what we can see and touch and do. It's just the way we're made. Sometimes it shows up this way. After maybe a spiritually strong week or season or day, you feel, wow, I'm feeling especially mature. I know that sounds silly, right? I'm feeling especially learned. I'm feeling especially loved by God today, this week, this hour. But then a week of impatience, a moment of prayerlessness, discouragement comes out of somewhere or nowhere. A repeated struggle comes up that we have not gained victory of yet. It's in those moments that we begin to wonder whether God is actually keeping us at an insulated distance. Am I really accepted by God because there's this and there's that? And in those moments, what we're doing is we're comparing where I fail with where I'm not failing and maybe succeeding. And I've now brought down God's acceptance to a level of what I do or what I don't do. So you start searching within yourself for proof. That's the natural next step. Have I changed enough? Have I felt enough? Have I been consistent enough? Do I understand enough? Have I stayed clean long enough? Then Paul points us hopefully back to Abraham. And he reminds us in verse 6, that God did not accept Abraham because Abraham was impressive and had this monumental spiritual record. Abraham believed God, and God counted him righteous. Paul says the same thing elsewhere. It's in Romans chapter 4 and verse 5. Where the Bible says, but to him who does not work, but believes on him, who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. Same truth applied to all repentant believers, and that is that God justifies the ungodly, like me and like you. Not those who have finally found enough righteousness in ourselves. No. God doesn't justify the self-righteous. God justifies the wicked ungodly. Those who are unable, those who are unrighteous, God justifies. He does not justify the righteous. He justifies the unrighteous on the standard of trust, faith in Him. Faith, remember this, church, faith looks away from self and rests in the God who justifies. So when you are struggling with those moments of feeling distant, when you're struggling with the moments of trying to put your hands on and wrap your mind around, how am I worthy? Remember that the answer is never inside ourselves. It is always away from ourselves in the person and the work of Jesus Christ. Your confidence before God does not rest on finding enough evidence in yourself to feel secure. You will never find enough evidence in yourself. Not for salvation, not for assurance, and not for security. Rather, it rests on the promise of God and the righteousness that He gives through faith. Abraham was counted righteous by faith. In verses 7, 8, and 9, Paul continues writing. After just quoting from Genesis 15:6 in Galatians 3:6, Paul draws out the conclusion in verse 7. He says, "Therefore, know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham." Abraham's children are blessed by faith. If Abraham was counted righteous on account of his faith, then it goes that those who share the same type of faith that Abraham had are the true children of Abraham. And it's not only the kind of faith that Abraham had, but it's the rightly oriented faith that Abraham had. That is, your faith is only as good as what you put your faith in. And it was God. God made a promise. God made an unbelievable promise. And Abraham chose to believe God. That directly answered the false teacher's argument. They were treating the Galatians as though faith in Christ was not enough. They were saying to believers, like sometimes we even say to ourselves, that if Gentile believers wanted to fully belong to God and be in God's family, then they needed to do what the Jews had always done, and that was they needed circumcision, they needed to follow all the works of the law. And Paul says the opposite here. No, Christ fulfilled the law, so now salvation is extended to all, including the Gentiles. And so Paul says the opposite of what the false teachers were saying. And his teaching is that those who are of faith are also sons of Abraham in terms of being part of the family of God. Now, Paul is not erasing Abraham's historical place in God's plan. Paul is not denying God's promises that are distinct and unique to Israel. He is showing how Gentile believers are included in the blessing promised through Abraham. It's the blessing of being declared righteous. It's the blessing of salvation that's now extended to all. And then in verse 8, he continues, he says, And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. Verse 8 reaches back again to the promise that God gave Abraham. In you all the nations shall be blessed. This is what God firstly said to Abraham. Paul says, Scripture preached the gospel. I love that. Paul says, the Scriptures preached the gospel to Abraham. And the gospel preached is that God's plan to bless the nations was not an afterthought. Know this, that God's plan to bless all the nations through Abraham was always from the beginning. God promised that blessing would reach beyond only the walls of one nation. And then in verse 9, he concludes this thought by saying, so then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. Verse 9 gives the conclusion to this. The Galatians did not need to become Jewish to belong to Abraham's family. They needed simply to believe the same way that Abraham believed. So his point is that God's family is received by faith. It's that simple. So don't continue living as though there is something else to try to earn the worth of being justified before God. This means believers do not need to live like outsiders to God's promise. Some have some of the full promise, and I have a partial promise. I have to earn the promises of God in my life. No. So maybe it's that you look at other Christians and assume maybe simply that they belong more fully than you do. Well, they've definitely earned their right. That's a godly woman. That's a godly man. Boy, they know so much about Scripture. They do so much for the Lord. I could only come up with doing a fraction of what they do. They seem more stable when life goes sideways. They seem more mature with all the immaturity around today. They seem more consistent when commitment and sacrifice and consistency is lacking rampantly through the church today. They're more knowledgeable than me. They're more learned. They're more useful. They have more gifts, they're more practically eligible for use in the Lord's ministry than I am. Maybe you've thought something like that before. It's not long before a believer can be tempted to begin to think of ourselves as someone standing near like the edge of God's family rather than seated at the table with God's family as a recipient of grace. So then Paul's point becomes very clear and hopeful for believers. Those who are of faith are not spiritual outsiders. You're not an outsider as a believer. We don't stand on the outside looking in. By grace, through faith, the repentant sinner trusting in Christ alone for salvation is seated at the table in the family of God. We're the sons of Abraham, the daughters of Abraham, by faith. We're included in the blessing that God promised so long ago. And what is that blessing? That salvation is offered to all. God's people belong to Him by faith. So don't live as if you're still trying to earn your place in God's family. So Paul's writing to say. He says, firstly, to Galatians, and it's to us today, don't keep thinking, feeling, and living like you do not deserve to be in God's family. Because we don't. Rather, believe by faith. And that faith is counted as righteousness. If you're in Christ, if you're a believer, you are not waiting outside until you become worthy enough to enter into the family. The Bible says that you belong to God by faith, and those who believe are blessed with believing Abraham. As he was blessed, so are all believers blessed by trust in God. So the gospel does not leave us standing on near the edge, wondering whether we really belong or not, like those feelings of coming to an invited dinner party gathering, receiving the invitation, meeting the host and the hostess, even filling out the RSVP in advance, seated at the same table, but dealing with feelings of, I don't know that I really belong. When it comes to God's family, when it comes to salvation by faith alone in Christ alone and his finished work. Stop wondering whether we really belong. God does not receive sinners because we have finally become worthy. No, he receives sinners through faith in Christ. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, do not try to prove yourself acceptable to God. Come to Christ by faith. He is the only Savior that sinners need. And Christians, will you with me cling to the hope of Galatians 3, 6 through 9 and rest where Abraham rested? Rest in the promise of God. Rest in the righteousness that God gives. Rest in Christ. There is no other gospel. We do not belong to God because we have earned our place. What Paul says in this text here this morning, Galatians 3, 6 through 9, is that God's people belong to his family by faith.